You are welcome once again to this special communion service, and it is also a prophetic service. Already we have enjoyed the prophetic, and we'll still enjoy more. Hallelujah. I want to appreciate God for this great privilege this morning to be a blessing to us via the word of God. And I also want to appreciate God's servant in absentia. He has to be with the Day Spring Assembly, one of the sons of the ministry this morning, for the celebration of the anniversary. Praise the Lord. That's Pastor Momo's church, to some of us who know him. And we'll be celebrating with them this service. I believe God that before we are through with the second service, he'll be here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is our month of joyful celebration. Help me echo it to someone. It is my month. Personality says it's my month of joyful celebration. Sorrow till the end of this year and beyond will be far from you. As east is far from the west, the song of sorrow will be far from you. Your portion shall be rejoicing and celebration in the name of Jesus Christ. And so this morning I will be speaking to us in this first service, the part one of provoking joyful celebration by faith. In the subsequent meeting this month, on Sundays, we'll still be looking more of this. But we start up this morning with provoking joyful celebration by faith. I take my text from 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8, provoking joyful celebration by faith. He said, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing. The Bible didn't say believe. It says what? Believing. That is faith. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The blessing of God is truly what make rich and added no sorrow. If you must rejoice with celebration, he says, unspeakable, joy unspeakable, full of glory. That is joyful celebration. Then, your faith must be intact. Believing, not believe. Believing. Hallelujah. We have said in the course of our discussion this month, from the beginning, as God's servant has declared to us, the month of joyful celebration, that it is something that causes happiness. Joyful celebration is something that causes happiness with pleasure. Please underline the word with pleasure. And we express by rejoicing within the confines of God's word. If any of this word miss from this definition, then it ceases to be definition of joyful celebration. Joyful celebration is something that causes happiness and pleasure, expressed by rejoicing within the confines of God's word. That means whatever you call celebration or rejoicing must be within what the word of God permits. If it is outside what the word of God permits, then your happiness is not a joyful celebration. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, rejoice. And I say again, rejoice in the Lord. So whatever you call happiness, whatever you call expression of joy, It must be within the confines of God's word. What the word of God allow or permits. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I say, rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord means in the word. So your rejoicing must constantly and continuously be in the Lord, in the word, before it can be said to be a joyful celebration. It is joyful celebration is cause less of material or physical things. Cause means C-A-U brings about. Joyful celebration is cause less of material or physical things. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is not as a result of what happens to you or what did not happen. Now, if what you are celebrating is only as a result of what you receive or what physically you can handle, it is not joy, it is happiness. So, joyful celebration is costless of material or physical things. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us, planted or sown by salvation or through salvation in Christ Jesus. Psalm 51 verse 12, Habakkuk 3 and verse 18. Psalm 51 verse 12, Habakkuk 3 and verse 18. So it is less of the physical. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us, which is planted as a seed by or through salvation. He said, restore, David praying here, he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So the origin of joy, the seed of joy is planted. So unbelievers can be happy. They celebrate their happiness as a result of what happened to them. They also celebrate their sorrow as a result of what didn't happen to them or some bad things that happened. But joyful celebration, it must be something that has to do from the inside. Hallelujah. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And that seed is planted at salvation. The truth is that to everyone that is born again, you have this seed of joy already planted. But you need to nurture it to become fruits for yourself and others around you to be able to benefit and enjoy it. It becomes a fruit when you nurture the seed of joy that has been planted in you by salvation in Christ Jesus, which David here talks about the joy of thy salvation. That seed has been planted. And so, nurturing it is what makes the seed to mature and grow to the extent of bringing forth the fruit. And this fruit is what impacts your world. The fruit of joy is what impacts your neighbor. Is what impacts your generation. Hallelujah. We said on Wednesday that God wants us to celebrate. He wants us to be joyful always. And so we cannot keep enjoying the benefit of salvation, the gift of abundant life, overflowing life in Christ Jesus. We won't keep enjoying it until we have nurtured that seed of joy that has been planted in us. And as we nurture it and it begins to bring forth, men begin to feel the fruit, the impartation of that joy in us. Then we ourselves begin to enjoy the benefit of salvation. The book of Isaiah 12 and verse 3, the Bible says, with joy, with what? Church, with what? He said, with joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. Joy is important. How have received Christ, that seed is there. But you need to constantly provoke it, nurture it. Do everything possible, which we'll be learning through this month, on how to constantly provoke the joy of God that is planted via salvation in you. And until this joy is provoked and begin to manifest, it becomes fruit. Men can see it by your actions, by your word. Until men are able to see it by your actions and your word, it's not yet a fruit. Now, if it has become a fruit, you have gotten to this level by your nurturing this seed of joy, then you will begin to take the fullness of your inheritance in Christ Jesus. That was why this scripture says, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Water here means blessing. Water here means refreshing. Assuming a room, imagine a room as the custodian of everything, your inheritance in Christ Jesus. And in that room or compound, there are many wells. And those wells are wells of salvation, because it is via salvation you can access it. Now, you have the well of academic breakthrough, you have the well of marital breakthrough, you have the well of fruitfulness of the body, you have the well of just name it. Every of our inheritance in Christ Jesus, wealth, health, you have each of this well. That is why we have the plural wells. Now, it takes joy, even though you have access to salvation because you have been born again, it takes joy as an instrument in your hand, as a fruit you must constantly manifest, to be able to take charge, delivery, to be able to take the inheritance that belongs to you in Christ Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. So joy is a must. It is important. It is not an option. If not, you won't be able to take the fullness of what Christ has purchased for you. God wants us to constantly provoke this joy by rejoicing always. And the one principal way to provoke joyful celebration is by your faith. Faith is key to Christian life and living. One way to constantly provoke this joy, because it is with this joy you will take delivery of your inheritance in Christ. Just name all those inheritance in Christ. Riches, honor, glory, power, health. Just name it. It is with joy. Joy is a tool in your hand to be able to assess your own wealth as you desire them. But you see, one principal key also in your hand to be able to provoke this joyful celebration is your faith. Your faith is key, even in this race. Your faith is key to Christian life and Christian living. You can enjoy the abundant life in Christ, which is enormous to having abundant joy, if your faith is out of place. Romans 14 and verse 23. The Bible makes it clear there that whatever is not of faith is what? Is sin. You have stepped out of the confines of salvation, the benefit and the blessings of salvation. You have stepped out once you step out of faith. Whatever, your word, your action, your deed, whatever is not of faith is what? Is sin. That's what the Bible says. So when you are not living in faith, you are living in sin. It is by faith we were saved. Ephesians 2 verse 8. For by grace you were saved through what? Through faith. Through faith. So you need to hold on to your faith. Hold fast to your faith and keep increasing in faith. Keep developing your faith. Keep moving from one level of faith to a higher level of faith. There is no faith situation. There is small faith. There is little faith. There is great faith. So you must constantly increase in faith. Hallelujah. Can I tell you this morning, faith is an asset. And you must possess it to have all things working for you in this kingdom. Tell your neighbor for me. Faith is an asset which you must possess if you must have all things working for you in this kingdom. So if you look around you or look into your own life, any area of life that things are not working for you according to the design of God as his children is because in that area your faith is lacking. There is no other explanation. It's not about the devil. It is not the powers from your village. No. Any area of life that things are not working for you the way God designed it. And you know what God says? He said, the thought I have for you is what? Is good and not evil. I have an expected end for you. Your later end will be greater, will be better. You will sit at the latter end of your life and enjoy. You will have pleasure. That is the mind of God. That is the plan of God. Irrespective of what you are passing through today. But you see, if you look into any area of your life, and in that area of life, it is not working the way God designed it to work. You are not seeing the blessing and the plan of God the way you have read it, the way you have been told from God's word. There is no devil. The only thing that is lacking in that area is what? Is faith. That is why the apostle says, I fought a good fight of faith. Every temptation, every challenge a child of God is facing in any area of life is a fight of faith. Is what? It's a fight of faith. But glory be to God because you have the hope of winning that fight. And that is why you are here this morning again to hear. Why? Because this faith we are talking about keep increasing as the word of God in your heart keep increasing. Faith come by what? By hearing and understanding the words of God. Hearing and hearing. Romans 10 and verse 17. So the way of faith is the way of celebration always. Let me announce that to your neighbor. Say the way of faith is the way of celebration always. So ask your neighbor, if you want to celebrate always, then keep your faith intact. Increase in your faith. Hallelujah. So the way of faith is the way of joyful celebration. It is the way of restful and deliverance from all form of tension and pressures of life. The way of faith is the way of rest, is the way of deliverance from all form of tension and from all form of pressures of life. Marital pressures, just know that your Redeemer liveth. That is faith. His word can never fail. Rest in that confidence that your tomorrow is better. Your tomorrow is great. It does not matter what is happening today. Is somebody giving himself or herself that assurance? It doesn't matter what is happening today. My tomorrow is great. My tomorrow is better. If Christ started to come, I will enjoy a good life. Somebody is not saying it. Because it is a prophetic service. And you are the first prophet of your life. Say, no matter what happened, no matter what is happening right now, I know, I am sure that my tomorrow is greater. My tomorrow is better. In the name of Jesus Christ, I will enjoy pleasure on every side. By your confession this morning, tension is far from you. In the name of Jesus Christ. So the way of faith is the way of rest. deliverance, the way of celebration always. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8 where we read. It is very important that when you are continuing believing, that is faith, you will always rejoice. You will always have this joy unspeakable that is full of glory, not shame, not pain. But you must keep believing. So the way of faith is the way of rejoicing, the way of celebration. It does not matter what happened or what is happening to you today. God is coming through for you. All you need to do is to remain in faith. Now, quickly, what is faith? We'll be learning a lot on faith. But let's start this way. What is faith? The reason why men don't enjoy the blessings, the enormous benefit of faith, is because they don't know what faith is. Some things we consider as faith. Somebody had told me before, say, Mommy, I have faith. I believe. And this thing is still not happening. I have confessed. I have prophesied. Now, faith is not just confession. Faith is a profession. Are you with me? Faith is not, I will not die. I cannot be poor. It's good to say it. It's good to prophesy. Hallelujah. But that is not yet faith. And until you understand what faith is and begin to walk in the light of that understanding, you will not enjoy the benefit of faith. And we have said that part of the benefit of faith is that you continually rejoice, that you won't have tension or pressure in any area of your life, over your children, over your husband, over the work of your hands. You will not have pressure, but you will always have reasons to celebrate. That is part of the blessing and benefit of faith. But if you don't know what faith is, it will be difficult for you to enjoy, especially joyful celebration. Faith is not a confession. Faith is a profession. In other words, a profession is seen all over you through the word of your mouth. If somebody stands with you and speak with you in the next 10 minutes, if the person is very intelligent, will be able to guess which profession you belong to. Hallelujah. If somebody look at you, they may be able to guess the way you appear. Most times, they may be able to guess. Why do we say this man look like a banker? Why do we say that? Eh? Most times, it may not be all the time, but most times you see them dressing corporate, and there is a way they appear, there's a way they walk, you will guess. When somebody open your page, social media page, and see some posts, the person may guess what profession you are into. Is that the truth? So, faith is also like that. That somebody stay with you for 5-10 minutes, from the words of your mouth, they will know if you have faith or not. If you are intelligent in God's word. Hallelujah. Somebody passed. And as the person passed, another person said, so this man has become like this. The man used to be very rich before. In fact, G-Wagon. He has this. And the other person will say, now so the world be, oh, nobody know where it won't go end. Is that conversation correct? I'm not saying, is it true? I say, is it correct? Is correct. Most time you hear people discuss like that. Now, when you stay with such people, now, can you read faith around those kind of people? Never. So faith is not a confession alone. It is a profession. It is a lifestyle. With the word of your mouth, today we know. Cockroach pass. You said the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of the cockroach. That is not faith. You are going in a vehicle on a machine, and the machine mistakenly enter bottle. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Now, you see, people will misinterpret this. They will say, the person has faith in the name of Jesus. That's why he's calling Jesus. That's why he called Jesus 1,000 times. That is not an explanation of faith. That is an expression of fear. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And the vehicle will drive more inside the bottle. Once the Bible says, whoever shall call on the name of the Lord, the Bible says you should call him 100 times. When Jesus saw the storm, and the disciples came and they have packed water, they have done everything, and when they went and woke Jesus, we die. And Jesus said, what? Did Jesus say, peace, 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 peace? Is that what Jesus did? He just said, peace. Shana na makasha. Every trouble of your life is hearing the voice of God right now. Every trouble in your home is hearing the voice of God right now. Every trouble in your body that has not allowed you to experience joy, they are hearing the voice of the Lord right now. Because from his word, his voice shall be heard. It's not faith. So the problem we have is knowing what faith is. So even as believers, tongue talkers, the thing we express and we think they are faith, they are not faith. They are fear, expression of fear. Somebody will wake up in the midnight. You say, you have heard a lot of messages. Say, 12 midnight prayer to 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock, 1 hour midnight prayer. Ha! He did drive all devil. I remember I've had those messages before. You talk the truth to the church. They tell you 12 midnight, wake up. That's when devil they operate. So when you might wake up, you match them. That kind of prayer is not prayer in faith. It's prayer expressing fear. I have never, as long as I know myself in the Lord and understood Bible, I never stood up in the midnight and be praying midnight prayer for devils against Satan. Shana makapaya. The Bible says, building up yourself in your most holy faith. Doing what? Praying the Holy Ghost. Sina ma kapala. Shupari mosa. Bende bede. No devil will deal with. No devil. You don't need to pursue them. My focus is not on them. I asked a woman who says every midnight she doesn't sleep. That people are suffering you. She can feel the Satan coming. Every night, she used to feel when they are coming. She, like breeze. You know the way breeze used to blow person. She used to feel it. Say, when I begin to feel that they are coming, and I will wake up, I will pray. He said, sometime by 4 o'clock, sleep will begin to catch me. And the woman have hypertension, she have diabetes, all manner of sickness. So after she finished speaking, I asked her, Mama, are you born again? Say yes. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? He said, now where the problem, they be that. He said, in my church, they have put me on 2 days fasting, they have put me on 3 days fasting. I said, for what? He said, to receive Holy Ghost. I said, it is well with you, Mama. They put person for fasting before you won't receive Holy Ghost. I asked question, are you born again? Say, I'm born again. When did you give your life to Christ? The woman explained. I said, that is all you need to receive Holy Ghost. Now you receive. And I ask her, I said, Mama, you say, I said, have you ever seen a madman before? He said, mad. I said, yes, we ain't had no correct. We crazy. With the person we crazy, where? You know, crazy, we don't enter markets. You know the crazy, we don't enter market. Yoruba people believe that person crazy, we enter market. They no get cure. I said, Mama, have you seen that kind of crazy before? Because now Yoruba woman. She said, yes. I said, that kind of crazy person, you don't put fire, the fire will they take cook. Eh? You don't put them before, and the man, because he's crazy, come go put them inside fire. Mama can't laugh. Say, the crazy don't reach that one. Even horn, if you are driving and you horn for Christmas, what is the, you go run, come on for them. Hallelujah. So I told the woman, I say, now you will receive Holy Ghost. After you receive the Holy Ghost, I say, what you will do is that before you sleep anytime, it doesn't have to be midnight. Maybe not 10 o'clock, you won't go sleep. Just target, if this sleep don't they catch you, target 5 minutes. No, do more than 5 minutes. Oh. That tongue where you they speak, just begin speaking. And what is your target? The Bible says, Jesus is coming. John the Baptist prophesying. He said, the one that is coming, whose lace of shoe I cannot untie, he will baptize you with what? With the Holy Ghost and fire. I say, just keep that scripture in your head. That's your praying tongue. You are creating fire. What are you doing? You are fanning fire all around you, around your home, around your compound. I said, do that one 5 minutes, go sleep. I said, by next week, me and you go see. Do them every day. 5 minutes. Don't do more than 5 minutes. That was the end of the village people. Now, what was she praying against them? No. All she needed was to create the fire. You are here. You are born again. You are filled with the Holy Ghost. You speak in tongue. Masquerade is still pursuing you in the night. You are still eating. You are still eating. Stupid devil. They're not going to bring you rice in the daylight. 99, they go bring jollof rice with salad. She come on. They're not going to try me. Try me with that kind of salad. She don't chop and well. And nothing will happen. It's you that once you eat it, because there is no fire. As the food enter my belly, it's passing through the furnace of fire. Refined. Now you, they eat them, now poison for your body. You go see. They will go scanning. They're not going to see what they worry you. Why? Because your fire is dying. The fire of the Holy Ghost is what? It's dying. Because there is no constant activation. I don't know why the Holy Spirit is talking to somebody this morning. You are still suffering. Pray in tongue. You won't pray in tongue. You can't open your mouth and pray. You are deceiving yourself. You lie down on the bed. You are gone. You have gone to your village. And that is praying in tongue. The Bible says the earnest, fervent prayer, kata. It's not how many hours you pray. 5 minutes, hot tongue prayer. No devil will dare wait. I tell you for free. No devil will dare wait for that fire. That's it tormenting you. You are still eating, stomach, tomorrow, headache, next tomorrow, leg. That devil is a bastard. No talk anymore. No talk anymore. If you are not sure of yourself, no talk anymore. Before you come say, now mommy put you for trouble. Pray in tongues, you won't pray in tongues. Holy Ghost hour, they here. Come and tongue for 20 minutes in the Holy Ghost. On Sunday, for where? You will not come. Laziness. Now, I thank God there's no rain. If they will be given excuse of rain, they will not come for Holy Ghost hour. There are people in this church that have been in Hope Alive Christian Assembly for 1 year, for 2 years, for 3 years, for 4 years, for 5 years. They have never attended Holy Ghost hour once. And we're talking about faith. One principal way to boost your faith, to increase in faith, give me Jude 1:20. It's for praying the Holy Ghost. Building up yourself in your most holy faith. Church, read that scripture for me. What? But ye beloved, who? Who? You, the beloved, building up yourself on what? On your most holy faith. Doing what? Shina namaka. Zipo lobo. Close your eyes and pray in the spirit more. Maybe you know, pray this morning, say, close your eyes and pray in tongues. Shikala rabada kasha. Sipelem brado shikiana manama soto. Belengele barada kashaka. Build up your faith. Your faith must come alive. No mountain must be able to stand you after this service. Shidabalada badabada basha. Everything that has been tampering with your joy, the joy of your marriage. Shibeleg, shibalada katabasa. Prado kampani manamanama supelede. Zuko, supata parada katapalaba. Rekepete belebe. Wake up your spirit right now. Sindala bradosha. Belekete bele belekete belekete. Zuke parushi kananama oshaka. Bebe bebe be. Your faith cannot grow beyond the level of your activating the Holy Ghost. Jikebili katabananabosh. Bratakaba. Your faith to take delivery of your desire. Come alive. Zize, zeze lebo shamanamana. Bada 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 barakataba. Rekepele bede kepele degede. Zupele pe tepele mpalada. Zukaparanda katada katala katakato. Jikatoto. Jeketele se teli mashua. Brakatu sa katana. Benkete pelenkete. Brakatamana kotopala. Pere topoton torobo saka. Benikete berete kesidiana masha. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Your faith is moving to the next level. See, your spiritual life, your financial life, your marital life can never grow beyond the level of your faith. Don't expect anything big. Forget. If your faith is small, your life will be small. Your business will remain small. Your career will remain small. Don't let anybody deceive you. There's no cajoling in this one. Don't let anybody tap your back and pet you. That you are not growing in faith, your life can never grow. Your marital life will remain on spot. See, what the Bible commands men to do, he said they should continually, they should cleave to their wife. They should continually chase their wife. See, a wife that a husband will continually chase is a woman of faith. It's a woman that is grown, that has grown in faith, that is growing in faith. That's why the Bible says, beauty is what? He's deceitful. Powder is good, though. Makeup, excellent. But see, your life, your marital life will not be sweeter than the level of your faith. Your career will not blossom more than the level of your faith. Your business will not grow beyond the level of your faith. So your assignment in this first service, if you want to continually experience joyful celebration in any area of your life you desire, is to go and grow your faith. Go and what? Go and tell your neighbor for me. Say the assignment pastor is giving you this morning is to go and grow your faith. Tap your neighbor. In case the neighbor is dozing. Say the assignment for this first service is to go and grow your faith. Somebody shout hallelujah. What is faith? Number one. Bible faith. Mark my word, I say Bible faith. Not your own faith. Not the word definition of faith. Bible faith is keeping God's word. Simple and short. So if you are not a keeper of God's word, you have not started the journey of faith. Are you in church? Are you in church? What is faith? Bible faith is what? Keeping God's word. Even the Bible tells us that we call God. God have that name of being called a faithful God because he's a keeper of his own word. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9. God have that name. We call him a faithful God. A God that is full of faith. Why? Because he's a keeper of his own word. Now, forget about it. You can't be faith. You can't have faith. You can't be called faithful if you are not a keeper of God's word. Are you with me? If God cannot be called faithful without keeping his own word, then there is no faith. Whatever you call faith is not faith when you are not a keeper of God's word. Are we reading together? He said, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God is who? He's God. What is his name? The faithful God. Why is he the faithful God? Which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandment to 1,000 generations. So if you are not a keeper of God's word, because he is a keeper of his own covenant, of his own word. Now if you are not a keeper of his own word, forget. You are already walking out of faith. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 35. First Samuel chapter 2 verse 35 say, "And I will raise me up a faithful priest, a faithful servant." The Bible says in Revelation, it says God has made us through salvation king and priest unto himself. So if you are born again in the house, you are a priest. Are you with me? So he said, "And I will raise me up a faithful priest." You are a priest, but you won't be called a faithful priest. "That shall do according to that which is in his mind and in heart and his mind. And I will build him a sure house." Anyone that will not do according as God has commanded, even if you have been made a priest unto him, you are not a faithful priest. You are not operating in faith even though you are a priest. Faith is keeping the word of God, doing the word of God, obeying the words of God. James chapter 2 and verse 19. The Bible says even the devil believe and he tremble. So I believe God's word is not faith. Hallelujah. I believe God's word is not what? It's not faith. Somebody say now, wow. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, I believe God's word. It's not yet faith. Why? Did the devil have faith? No. Because the devil is a breaker of God's word. But he believed. So you can believe God's word and not do it. You are not yet walking in faith. You don't have faith yet. He said the devil believe and also what? And tremble. But because he does not do, he doesn't have faith. Because the scripture, according to Romans chapter 10 verse 17, is the source of God, is the source of faith because it's the word of God. You can't have faith outside God's word. Forget about it. And it's not just having the word. It's doing the word, what the word says. The knowledge of God's word is one. And it's very good. Hallelujah. The knowledge of God is one. And it's what? Very good. But the obedience to God's word is another thing, you know, and that one is better. Good, very good, better. The word of God, knowing it, having the knowledge, believing it is one and is good. But to be able to obey what the word says is better. Because that is what brings you breakthrough. That is what brings you joy. That is what deliver your inheritance in Christ Jesus to you. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. It says, "This book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart from where? From your mouth. You will meditate on it day and night." Why? Why will the word not depart from your mouth? Why should you meditate on it day and night? He says, "So that you might observe to do all that is written."
If you are not a doer, then your way can't be prosperous. If you are not a doer, forget about success. Success in marriage, success in business, success in career, success in business. Why a believer, tongue talker, why do you open business and it die in your hand? He said the thing that you will observe to do, if you are a breaker of God's word, forget about success. Forget about breakthrough. Forget about joyful celebration. Jesus' mother told them in John chapter 2 and verse 5. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he said to you, do it. In other words, who is Jesus? Jesus is the word of God. John chapter 1 verse 1. He said, whatever the word tells you, what do you do? Do it. Somebody say, I can't see Jesus. Just like the day of the apostle, they saw him face to face so they could take instruction from his mouth. Say, but today I can't see Jesus. Fine. But John 1 verse 1 told us that in the beginning was the word was with God and the word was God. He said, this word was made flesh and we saw his glory. The glory of the only begotten son of God, full of grace and glory. Talking about Jesus. Now, if you can't see Jesus physically, the word of God is there with you 24/7. Whatever the one tells you to do, do it. Whatever. Whatever. Whatsoever. It doesn't mean it will be pleasant. It does not mean that it will be all rosy. It does not mean that you will even be pleased or happy with it. But the Bible says, faith means whatever the word tells you, do it. Can I tell you the truth? Faith is also the fruit of the spirit, just like joy. So one give back to one. If your faith cannot be intact and continually grow, then your joy can't be intact and your joy can't grow. Everyone that finds reasons to break the word of God, they are evildoers. And trouble can never depart from them. They can't see joy. Something will always come to break your heart. James chapter 1 and verse 22. The Bible says, James 1 verse 22, but he said, be ye doer of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. If you find any reason to break the word of God, forget about it. Trouble can't be far from you. You are deceiving yourself if you only hear and not obey. So to be doer of God's word is to walk in faith. To be breaker of the word of God is to continually walk outside faith. No one, and I say as I conclude, no one, whoever you are, whatever title you carry in the body of Christ, no one breaks the word of God and are not broken. That's why we have broken marriages. That's why we have broken homes. That's why we have broken bodies. Accident, operation of all kind, break your body. They must cut it. But Jesus has paid the price. His body was broken so that yours may not be broken. People think that the reason why we break the bread or whatever we use as the flesh of Jesus, people don't know that it is significant. We will have brought the bale or the whole. No. That you are not supposed to take the whole because it is a broken body. It signifies that Jesus' body was already broken. So your body, your home, your business, your career is not permitted to be broken. Except your faith is strong in this word of God and you begin to walk according to it, you won't take delivery of the blessings. His body is already broken. You can't see any, there is no prayer. Don't go and waste your time on the mountain. Don't go and look for any powerful man of God. Can I tell you, there is no powerful man of God. The powerful men of God are only in subjection and obedience to the powerful God. Are you with me? When you find yourself breaking the law of God, the powerful men of God, in quotes, their power will not work for you. I've had people's testimonies severally. He said, this person, doctor has condemned the person's and this thing that is going to die. They take the person to, from Kaduna here, take the person to redemption camp. Sleep there several nights. And they come back home, and immediately they come back, the person die. And I said, what is happening? I said, you don't know what is happening. What is happening is not happening as per Baba, our grandfather, Badeboy. That man is a powerful man of God. Somebody say, I go to Shiloh. I drank the water. You know all the testimony we hear in Son. I drank the sand. I drank the water of gutter. We have testimony people drinking water of the gutter in Shiloh, and they have children. Those things were done in faith. Those people, you look at them, they are covenant keeper. They are not lawbreakers. If you are a lawbreaker, if you like, go and be sleeping in Shiloh. I tell you the truth. Maybe the death will be fasting. You could die quick. Make you waka. Somebody came in, one of her members, came in one day and said, Mommy, I've been keeping this thing. I don't know what to do. And I said, what it is? It's a woman. He said, Mommy, let's enter one corner. And I took her and we entered into that inner children church. And she undressed. When she undressed, as a pastor, I just tried to control myself. You will know. He said, Mommy, touch it. Touching her breast alone, nobody needs to tell me that this is cancer. I said, Father, well, how long? Since when? He said, Mommy, I've done everything. I pray. I have done this. I have done that. And the Holy Spirit told me, don't pray. Don't pray. And I said, okay, don't worry. I'll pray for you. Just cover up. And she wear her clothes and cover. When I got home, I told her, that is okay. When you see her next, this is what you do. And he told me what to do. And as I was praying for her, the Holy Spirit told me, say, go and tell her that until she forgives her husband for whatever wrong that man has done, he said, she will remain in this affliction. That was the word. It was an affliction over her. She will remain in this affliction. And when I saw her, I told her, I say, there's a name we call her. If I call her name, everybody will know. I say, if you want to be out of this affliction, I'm not saying your husband has not offended you. But before I say forgive, she started crying. I said, let go. That is the solution. Let what? Let go. And I left her. She cried, 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 cried. When all the tears finished, are you ready to let go? See, I said, Father, please have mercy. Then what daddy asked me to do? I said, remove your shoe. We still went back to the same wall. Say, remove your shoe. She removed her shoe. I said, the God of Haka, the merciful God, please have mercy on her. And that was the end. That was the end of that affliction. I wish she's here today. Maybe I would have been have the confidence to call her to share that testimony. That was the end of that affliction. The thing just began to soften by itself. And every time we come to service, I will take communion, we'll rub, but the pain, all the symptoms disappear. See, just name, that is healing. Are you hearing me? But we have had several people die of the same cancer. They will pray, they will pray, they will pray. See, that says something. And if you didn't hear anything, please hear this today. That there is no one, absolutely no one, passing through any form of suffering, and that suffering persists as a child of God. At the root of that suffering, there is disobedience. There is no explanation. It is not about God. It is not about the devil. There is disobedience at the root of your affliction. And as long as you keep disobeying the word of God, you will remain in that affliction. It is not a curse. It is Bible. John 10:35. The Bible says, the scripture, the last part of it, he said, and the scripture cannot be broken. So if they place the word of God for healing side by side with any sickness, cancer, excess, blood, whatever, they place the word of healing, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He said the body was broken so that yours will not be broken. If you place that word of God side by side with any sickness, any infirmity, any negative situation of life. Now, when you bring the word of God in contact with that situation, something must happen. One must be broken. And it is already an established truth in God's word that the scripture can be broken. So if the scripture can be broken, that means it is that thing that come in contact with the word of God that needed to be broken that will be broken. Stand to your feet.